Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour. We are thrilled to have you with us today as we embark on a journey to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our key ministries dedicated to sharing the transformative and uplifting message of the gospel far and wide. Each week, we provide inspiring teachings, uplifting stories, and heartfelt prayers that connect you with the profound truths of Scripture. Our mission is to spread hope, love, and faith, and we invite you to join us in this vital endeavor as we seek to impact lives across the globe. Thank you for tuning in, and together, let us celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ.
Today, in keeping with the month of April, we thought I'd quote the most famous gospel verse in the world, John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Here we see that God loved. He loved the whole world. He gave the best gift, the best present, the indescribable gift to mankind. And Jesus came and went to the cross for us. So God loved, God gave, and God also saves, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. If you believe, if you have faith, you will become a child of God, and God will watch over you as a father, and he'll meet your needs. He'll go with you. He'll help you. He'll empower you. He'll open doors. He'll bless you, and he'll use you in a mighty way if you would just let him.
Hello, and welcome to another inspiring episode of Mission Moments. I'm Reverend Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go, bringing you the latest updates from the vibrant mission field. This week, we are excited to spotlight Mission Go's unwavering commitment to spreading the gospel and nurturing local Christian communities worldwide. Join us as we delve into the incredible stories of missionaries making a tangible difference in unique language groups worldwide. As part of Canada's National Bible Hour and Mission Go Ministry, we celebrate the dedicated individuals who embark on this journey to preach, build genuine relationships, and address the needs of those they serve. Their heartfelt outreach aims to share the gospel's transformative power, and we can't wait for you to hear these uplifting stories. Stay tuned as we explore the meaningful connections being forged and the lives being changed, all through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. A call from the Scatliff Children's Ministry, Guatemala.
This past year, our missionaries felt the call on their lives from the Lord to move from their residence in Indiana to Guatemala with their young family. This was a huge leap of faith, as they would have to sell most of their belongings and move internationally with four young boys. But they were obedient, and the Lord showed up. On the very same day, they learned that the closing of their home in Indiana was moved up by a week, and they had nowhere yet to move to in Guatemala. Although they had been searching for 8 months, they, in faith, agreed to move the closing date. They cried, they pleaded with the Lord. Just 2 hours later, they found and accepted a rental house in Guatemala, and that house, the one they are currently living in, has been such a blessing to their family. The Lord's timing, yet the requirement of faith in the process, was profound. Waiting on the Lord is necessary. And the only thing you need to control is your reaction to your situation, ensuring it honors the Lord.
Let us continue to pray for this dear family as they serve in Guatemala. As we draw this inspiring episode of Mission Moments to a close, I want to take a moment to reflect on the powerful work being done around the globe. I'm Reverend Dennis Campbell, president of Mission Go, and it has been a joy to share with you the latest updates from the vibrant mission field. This week, we've been privileged to spotlight Mission Go's steadfast commitment to spreading the gospel and nurturing local Christian communities in every corner of the world. The incredible stories of our missionaries remind us of the profound impact one can have. These devoted individuals are not just sharing messages, they are building genuine relationships and meeting heartfelt needs, all driven by their desire to share the transformative love of Jesus Christ. As part of Canada's National Bible Hour and Mission Go Ministry, I encourage you to share these stories. They are testaments to faith in action and the beauty of community. Together, we are witnessing lives being transformed by the grace of God, and it's an honor to be part of this journey with you. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you will continue to pray for our missionaries and support their efforts to ignite hope and love in every community they touch. Until next time, may the grace and peace of our Lord bless you abundantly. This April, here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we would like to make available another booklet about goodness, a devotion series by Robert Strand. As we continue the offering, the devotional series by Robert Strand, The Nine Fruits of the Spirit. The Greek word agathos describes how a person who is good in character or constitution will benefit others. Good and goodness are two very different words. We like to think what we do is good. Before we consider being good and doing good, we will need a working definition of goodness. God has set the measuring rod and standard, not humans. God is the measure of all things, including goodness and what it means. So, we will attempt to start with an understanding of God's goodness as a harvest of the Spirit's working in our lives. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In these Bible studies, Fruits of the Spirit, by the bestseller author Robert Strand, you will learn about yourself and how to relate to others as you gain a deeper understanding of what it means to be in Christ. To order your copy of the booklet Goodness, a devotion series by Robert Strand, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Mission Go, St. Catharines, Ontario. Postal code L2R77 or in the United States, box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231.
This is my story.
Today's message is from Dr. Fred Hartman and is centered around the prophecy in Isaiah. I'm sure that you enjoy this message very much.
The history books are filled with multitudes of kingdoms and nations that have existed throughout the entire world, but are no longer there. We find traces of their civilization. But what happened to them? Where are the Mayans, the Amorites, the Scythians, or the Philistines? Have you ever met an Amalekite or Babylonian? Empires and kingdoms come and go, and we ask ourselves why. Our purpose today is to look into verses found in the first three chapters of the prophecy of Isaiah, discover at least one major reason for this happening, and to try to see what could preserve our nations. To understand where we're going, let me give you a brief insight into the purpose of the book of Isaiah. The prophet penned these words some 750 years before Jesus Christ was born. It was written during the reign of four kings, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. The portion we will examine today is a cry for the idolatrous nation of Judah to forsake their wicked ways and return to the Lord. We will soon learn what would take place if they refused to obey God's message to them through the prophet Isaiah. We see God's charges against Judah in chapter 1, verse 2 to 7. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither mollified with ointment. As you read this, you can see the prophet is making a very simple and easily understood lesson. If a dumb animal knows who his owner is and where his food and lodging are, how come Israel doesn't recognize who God is and honor him? They don't even consider who he is or what he has done for them. The problem is their sin, which provokes God to anger. Their sins cover the whole body from head to foot, just as if they were covered with cancerous sores all over that were not even being treated. Then he continues to remind them why their countries are desolate. Their cities are burned with fire, and they will have lost their land to the enemies. He then tells them that if it were not for a small godly remnant, they and their land would be as desolate as Sodom and Gomorrah. Though they're trying to be religious by offering all the normal sacrifices, God rejects them because they are merely ritual. What God wants is their heart right with him. God says he will not hear their prayers, for their hands are full of blood. The Lord makes a very familiar plea with the nation when he says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." What God was pleading with Israel for was for them to put away the evil they had committed against him by turning to idolatry. He wanted their hearts to be right with him. It was his desire to bless them, but it was dependent upon them. He was giving them one final opportunity to change their ways. Would they take it, or would they go on their own way? This brings us to our prophetic passage found in the third chapter of Isaiah. In the first five verses of this chapter, we read, "For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, and the captain of the 50 and the honorable man, and the counselor and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. The word of God is very clear here, showing us exactly what he would do to his people if they refused his offer of repentance. Let's take these verses apart and examine them in detail. The first thing we note is that God would take away their food and their water. All he had to do was to keep it from raining. This is certainly nothing new for him to do. We can remember when it didn't rain for 3.5 years. How would they be able to grow food? We can also remember when Abraham went to Egypt because of the famine, or when Naomi and her husband left Bethlehem for Moab because of a famine. God did it before, so why would it be difficult for him to do it again? Then Isaiah says God would remove the mighty man. For a long time, I thought this went along with the next portion concerning the military. But then I came to realize who has the authority or power. It would be the prime minister, president, or other head of state. God would allow those to become those who didn't have the answers to the problems facing them. This is exactly what happened to Israel and what's happening in the world today. The man of war is speaking of the military. They would be weakened, and with their diminished strength, plus not trusting in the Lord, but rather in idols, could be weakened that they would not be able to defend against the enemy. God would take away the judge. It does not mean there wouldn't be judges at all, but the ones with authority would flaunt the law, making decisions that would distort the law, bringing utter confusion to the system of jurisprudence. God would also remove the prophet so that there would be no clear message from him. That he did with Israel, and today we're rapidly seeing the decline of the truth of the word of God, as well as biblical illiteracy sweep across our nations. I've struggled with the word prudent and found that in the original language it meant a diviner. Put that with the word eloquent orator, which means enchanter, you have the Lord removing them as well. He also says the counselor will be removed, which means the nation will be left with no one to guide them in any crisis that comes, either by wise leaders or those who claim to have magical powers. The final group that the Lord takes away is the cunning artificer. This is speaking of qualified people who would be able to construct what was necessary to protect a country, such as ships and military weaponry of all sorts. It is at this point the Lord shifts the thought to what he will give them to replace the ones he's taken away. He says the children will rule over them. I'm convinced that this is not referring to a child in age, but rather that the leadership replacing the ones we have seen previously will be those lacking in any maturity, experience, or responsibility. Not only that, but in the verses following, Isaiah says that the people will oppress one another, and neighbors will be at odds one with another. There's one more aspect we must consider if we're going to be true to the text. In verse 5, it tells us that the children will be proud and rise up against their elders. That would speak of a total breakdown of the family and respect to authority by the younger generation. In context, Isaiah was giving God's message to the children of Israel. He was prophesying about how Judah would fall to the Babylonian Empire more than 2 centuries after he wrote the book. That empire was at that time not even a player on the world scene. But just as God promised, they came into power, and the very thing that we've been studying took place just as God had predicted. Isaiah continues his prophecy by adding that Jerusalem will be ruined and Judah will fall to their enemy because of the sins they were committing provoked the anger of the Lord. Their sin is as open and blatant as the sins of Sodom. God makes it clear that the evil will come upon them is not because he wants it to happen, but because they will have brought it upon themselves. As I stated earlier in this message, in chapter 1 of Isaiah, God charged the nation because of their sins. He showed how far the people had gone from him, and that if there was no change of heart, they would be destroyed. In this third chapter, God warns of the methods he would use to bring about their destruction. Through all of this, he is pleading with the people to forsake their evil ways. But by the middle of chapter 3, it becomes apparent that the die is cast, and it is definite that the judgment of God will fall on them, because just like Sodom, their sin is wide open, and they are even proud of it. Now, let's leave what God promised he was going to do to the Jewish people and fast forward to today. I am fully aware that Isaiah was specifically written to the nation of Israel. However, there are principles found in the prophecy we've examined that do not change. Sin is still sin and is still just so much a stench in the nostrils of God today as it was 2,700 years ago. Can we not consider that if God brought this judgment upon the people that he had brought into existence and had loved so dearly throughout hundreds of years, that he would allow us, as or any nation today, to get away with open rebellion against God? If he would, he would have to say, excuse me, to Sodom, as well as the people of Israel. And I'm certain that's not the way he worked. Can we just take a look at the world today and make a comparison with what was taking place in Israel in the days of Isaiah? Let's just look at this from six different perspectives. First of all, God instituted marriage as a sacred bond between a man and a woman for life. Today, that bond is broken by around 50% of couples. There's the matter of divorce and remarriage, as well as the most popular thing today of couples just living together without even the bond of marriage. There also are many broken homes, often leaving children wondering who is who and what is life all about. No wonder we're having so many teen suicides. In the last 50 years, we've seen a breakdown of morality. When we were young, you could walk into a bank and get a loan with a handshake. Try that one today. There's been a complete sexual revolution. What was once almost sacred is now flaunted by the media. And sex without the benefit of marriage is by many considered to be the normal thing. Even television commercials are about things that are unnecessarily put before our children. Where will it go by the next generation? Another area we should note is that many who claim to know the Lord as Savior have a lifestyle that is no different than that of the unsaved. It seems that often God's people are doing their own thing, in spite of what the Word of God teaches. Perhaps this is because they're not really in the Word of God to learn. Another area that is becoming more and more of a problem is that we send our children off to school to get an education, and what we find that what they are taught is far from what we would prefer. And that's putting it mildly. Our young people go to secular colleges, respect their supposedly brilliant professors, and are put down for their faith. Upon graduation, and often even before, their lives are changed and their Christian life is shipwrecked. Lives are centered around immoral and drug-centered idols or their cell phones. Our nation in North America are becoming more and more biblically illiterate. Finally, we see less and less respect for any authority. We see protests over this and that turn into violent riots. Often the streets of our major cities are not safe to go out at night. Even the police are called pigs. Where are our nations headed? To a disaster? There's another possibility that could take place before a total spiritual and national disaster could strike North America. Herein lies our blessed hope as believers in Christ. Jesus could come at any moment and take the believers out of this slippery slope we're on. The rapture of the true church is promised. It is imminent, but we do not know when it will take place. World events and the lineup of the nations today is so close to what is promised for the end times. It seems as though it will not be long before he comes to take us home. There's one other scenario that must be considered before we leave you today. Throughout history, when situations looked hopeless, God still moved because there was a godly remnant. Do you remember how Abraham bargained with God that if there were 10 righteous people in Sodom, he would have spared the city? I'm convinced that if the godly remnant of his people today would be broken, fall on their knees, and plead with the Lord, it could change the course of North America and possibly the entire world. Though 2 Chronicles 7:14 was written to the Jewish people, it definitely has application for today. Let us be that remnant that God can use to change our nation. I believe he's waiting for us to really mean business with him.
As we draw this broadcast to a close during the Easter season, we at Mission Go and Canada's National Bible Hour want to express our heartfelt prayers for you. We hope the messages you've heard today and the inspiring stories from the mission field resonate deeply within you and ignite a passionate desire for a closer relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We encourage you to take a moment to immerse yourself in the wisdom of Scripture, reflecting on the beautiful invitation found in Matthew 11:28 to 29, where Jesus calls us to find rest in him. May these words lift your spirit and guide you towards a more profound understanding of his love and purpose for your life. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, may God's grace and peace be with you all. Also remember to order your copy of the booklet, Goodness, a Devotion Series, 9 Fruits of the Spirit, by Robert Strand. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22 to 23, to order your copy of the booklet, Goodness, a Devotion Series by Robert Strand. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Mission Go, St. Catharines, Ontario, postal code L2R7A7, or in the United States, box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231. Thank you for tuning in to Canada's National Bible Hour. We truly appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Remember, this program is made possible by your generous support, and we couldn't continue sharing these uplifting messages without you. If you have any questions or want to discuss our broadcast further, feel free to contact Tammy Campbell, our dedicated producer, at tjcampbell@missiongo.org. We love hearing from you. Until next time, take care and may God bless you richly. We look forward to having you with us again soon.